to the lost souls, the disintegrated spirits, the wanderers, the dreamers, and the seekers. Welcome to the Embodied Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Danielle McGinnis. Our work in this podcast will be to foster healing, transformation, self-expression, creativity, and the development of consciousness. So with our intentions grounded firmly, let's settle in and do some integration work. Hi friends, happy Sunday and welcome back to another episode of the Embodied Podcast. If you guys want to learn more about the work that I do in the world, you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Danielle McGinnis or on my website, drdaniellemcginnis.com. As always, I love to take just a little bit of time to just say thank you to those of you who have taken time to rate and review the show. So if you want to drop a 5-star rating or a written review or tag me in a share on Instagram, I would truly appreciate it. So today we are going to continue forth on the series of breaking down 7 different goddess archetypes. And today we're moving on to the 3 vulnerable goddesses, and today I'm going to talk about the first of those 3, and that is Persephone. Persephone is one of my favorite myths to talk about, and Persephone, the archetype of Persephone, has showed up in my life a lot, especially as I've transitioned into different roles in my life. And so I really think that Persephone is a really, really interesting archetype. So pay attention during this one. So Persephone represents the maiden, the queen of the underworld, and the receptive woman. So like I said, we're moving into what Jean Shinoda Bolen calls the vulnerable goddesses. And these goddesses have a pull towards relationship versus the virgin goddesses, who were motivated more by achievement and independence. So as I mentioned, the virgin goddesses were less susceptible to victimization as they were more boundaried and they used their heads to think through their problems. But all 3 of the vulnerable goddesses were victimized in some way at some point. So these goddesses can truly serve as guides of wisdom in our human moments of suffering and feelings of powerlessness. Each of the vulnerable goddesses go through a period of fulfillment to a phase of victimization, then a period of transformation and restoration. So Bolen describes that any woman who has ever felt the urge to get married, to have a child, or had the tendency to be waiting for something outside of herself to change herself will find herself akin to one of these vulnerable goddess archetypes at some point in her life. And so, like I said, Persephone is one of these goddesses where I have resonated deeply, especially the last 2 to 3 years of my life. So Persephone was the innocent and privileged daughter of Zeus and Demeter, who actually we're going to talk about Demeter next episode. So I want you to think about Persephone embodying 2 different aspects. So the Persephone I'm speaking about now is Persephone the maiden. So as we go on and talk about through this episode, I'll kind of bounce back and forth between the maiden aspects of Persephone, so the more innocent childlike aspects, and then I'll talk about Persephone as the queen or the goddess of the underworld. So just wanted to clarify that. So moving on in the myth, Hades, the god of the underworld, found himself madly in love with Persephone. So he asked Zeus if he could marry Persephone. And Zeus agreed. And he told Hades that Persephone's mother, Demeter, would never approve of this. But Hades, of course, being the god of the underworld, the god of darkness, would not accept her disapproval. So instead, he devised a plan to capture Persephone and make her his wife. So Persephone was lured by a narcissist flower, and she was abducted by Hades and plunged into the underworld. So as she picked this flower, it was the most beautiful flower she had ever seen, and soon as she picked it, the world opened up and she dropped into the underworld with Hades. So Hermes, the god Hermes, was sent to actually bring Persephone back to her mother, Demeter. But before she returned to the upper world, Persephone actually swallowed these pomegranate seeds that were given to her by Hades. And so as a result of digesting and metabolizing the underworld experience, she then became the queen of the underworld. And in that moment of metabolizing her underworld experience, she now becomes a guide for others. So Persephone, now turned into the queen of the underworld, would spend part of her year on the top side and then part of her year on the bottom side of the underworld. And she would also serve as this guide for others who were making their descent into the underworld. So let's talk about the archetype of Persephone. And so Persephone, I'm talking about the maiden version of Persephone here. So Persephone, before her descent, represents the pattern within women that does not feel compelled to act, but feels compelled to be acted upon by others. So this is the way of the compliant and passive attitude towards life. And you see this in Persephone before her descent. So as I mentioned, Persephone represents this dual nature, which means after her descent into the underworld and she became queen, she's actually able to transition and move between upper world and underworld. And this means that the part of the innocent maiden can be evolved into queen. And so if there's aspects of your personality that you find as I'm breaking down this archetype, just know that these can be evolved and transformed into queen. But the initial young maiden within Persephone represents the parts of ourselves that do not know who we are. These are the parts that are blind to our own desires and our own strengths. So it's really, you can think about it as an attitude of eternal childhood. It's an attitude of wanting somebody or something to show us who we are. This version of Persephone is also the mother's daughter. So this is the daughter who wants to please her mother at all costs, and that's typically an unconscious behavior. So this is the woman who stays obedient, who stays compliant, who stays dutiful and sheltered and protected under the mother so that she can avoid this independent sense of self. And so this innocence of Persephone can actually be very chameleon-like in the fact that she will conform to any image that a man projects onto her. So she unconsciously conforms to what men want her to be. So although Persephone was kidnapped into the underworld, she does later become the queen of the underworld. And what this underworld represents is the deep and dark layers of the psyche where all of these repressed dark feelings and memories may have been hiding. So after Persephone becomes queen, she's able to move and build a bridge between her consciousness and her unconscious. So this is really necessary for our full integration into wholeness. So this evolved version of maiden to queen represents her ability to serve as a guide for others who also visit the deep layers of the psyche. And so that's the aspect of Persephone I really, really resonate with, because after my dark night of the soul, I really have felt called to serve others and help them navigate their quote-unquote dark nights. So let's talk about the positive aspects of the Persephone archetype. So Persephone, once she's matured through her own inner work, becomes the guide to the underworld. So what comes out of this is her ability to be receptive, her ability to tap into her intuition, the empathy that she exhibits towards others that are suffering. She has a powerful imagination that can be very inspiring, and she also has the ability to read the hearts and minds of others. So let's move into talking about the shadow aspects. So the Persephone woman is required to acknowledge and to visit her own inner underworld, so her dark side. And if we actually avoid exposure to this, the consequence of that avoidance is considerable suffering. So to identify and to live as the eternal girl can become very shadowy in our personalities, and it will show up as this uninitiated version of Persephone. So what this can show up as is an inability to make commitments that require us to take more responsibility and kind of up-level our character. This shows up as deviousness in the form of lying and manipulation due to our own feelings of powerlessness. This shows up as our propensity to attract people with severe problems or abusive behaviors. This shows up as the attraction to situations and people that diminish our sense of personal power. This shows up as narcissism and the anxious fixation on ourselves. This shows up as chronic depression that can lead to feelings of guilt and powerlessness. This can show up as a deep sense of alienation, isolation, and this can actually happen when we are so preoccupied with our inner worlds that we lose the ability to connect and relate to others. So also when this uninitiated Persephone becomes compliant, she turns into the archetypal victim. So this is where she feels powerless in the midst of any and all circumstances in her life. So this actually leads to martyrdom, meaning that she's surviving on the sympathy of others. And then finally, the shadow aspects of an eternal girl shows up as the avoidance of anger and the repression of rage, which can eventually be projected onto other people. So to grow and to integrate the shadow aspects of the eternal girl, the maiden version of Persephone, into the queen of the underworld, she must learn to wrestle consciously with her eternal girl inside and to become a more mature and embodied woman. So what does this look like? This looks like making commitments and following through with them. So when you say yes to something, ensure that you mean it and then follow through with your yes. So the eternal girl inside of you must learn to make decisions and make commitments even when it's no longer fun to make those hard choices. So you have to develop this ability to be open and flexible. And you can develop this by listening to others from a place of receptivity versus a place of criticism and judgment. You can start to integrate the shadows by developing kindness for yourself versus a state of reactivity, a state of impatience, and a state of criticism for yourself. You have to learn to tell the truth rather than avoiding or lying to others in the fear that you're going to be displeasing them. You have to learn to set healthy boundaries. You have to say no rather than acting in manipulative, indirect, or blaming ways to meet your needs, and in that, you're actually just avoiding conflict. So learn to take care of yourself, to meet your own needs. In the midst of conflict, you have to learn to self-soothe. You have to develop a conscious relationship with your unconscious masculine aspects. And this is so that you can develop assertiveness and the ability to take action when needed instead of falling into a victimized state. So by uniting these dark and light aspects of ourself, we're embracing this inevitability of suffering that happens in life. And we're bringing this tendency to victimize ourselves into the light of consciousness. So we can recognize the places where we feel victimized in life and shine light on that and ask ourselves, like, why are we victimizing ourselves here? Are we actually in an adversarial relationship with suffering in this? So we have to be willing to look at we have to face suffering head on with our eyes open, and we have to be able to understand our relationship to that suffering. So we can't jump to blaming ourselves, blaming others, but rather empowering ourselves to have a deeper and more place of understanding towards our suffering. So we really just have to put down this attachment that we have to our lofty and idealistic maiden selves. So this is the persona that we wear that attaches itself to all the lovely and nice and gentle love and light sides of life. By allowing that side of life to die, we kind of descend and we meet Hades. And with that descent, we emerge as the woman who recognizes and accepts her own power. So this mature woman now no longer feels the need to project her feelings of helplessness and powerless onto others. She is the one that understands her own power and her own wisdom with that descent into darkness. So, as mentioned, Persephone's task is to return to the upper world with maturity as the goddess who knows separation, sexuality, and death. So the cycle of life and death needs to be embraced, and that means she has to learn to hold tensions between dualities such as light and dark. So when a Persephone woman attempts to deny or repress awareness of her dark side, what happens is that anger and rage kind of build up inside of her, and she remains in that uninitiated maiden state. So the mature Persephone unites this death and rebirth process within herself. She becomes a wise woman, and she's accessed her own repressed rage while still retaining her ability to stay youthful and vibrant, and she has this lust for life as this embodied mature woman. So just to wrap up here, I know that we've talked about three virgin goddesses prior to this episode. So many women find themselves predominantly behaving in ways that are focused in these Artemis and Athenian ways. So these women tend to find themselves needing a little bit more of Persephone in their lives. So the virgin goddesses, so Artemis and Athena, are so good at knowing how to act decisively, except when the unknown presents itself to them, then they truly struggle. So Persephone's ability to wait for situations and wait for feelings to become more clear can be really, really useful to these Artemis and Athenian women. So if you resonated to the Artemis podcast or the Athena podcast, it's really these aspects of Persephone that can help us it can serve as a guide to build a better relationship to the unknown. So Persephone serves as a guide between known and unknown, consciousness and unconsciousness, upper world and underworld. And that serves as a guide for those who have the dominance in these Artemis and Athena archetypes. So Persephone's receptivity and her ability to hold tension and navigate between these opposite ends of the spectrums. So we want to do one thing and we want to do the other thing that's the opposite. Persephone can help us hold tension on that spectrum. And this is a result of her personal transformation and her earned wisdom as the initiated queen of the underworld. So, as I mentioned, I love the Persephone myth. So if you guys haven't read it, I would encourage you to go read it, because it is just so deeply, if you're in the midst of a transition, if you're in the midst of suffering, it's something that reading this myth has really helped me pull from some of these aspects of the initiated woman. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Next episode, I'm going to dive into the second of the vulnerable goddesses, and that is Persephone's mother, Demeter. So Demeter is the goddess of the grain, the nurturer, and the mother. I hope you guys have an amazing Sunday, and we will talk soon. Bye, guys.